Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Everybody out there in the iTunes stratosphere, whoever you may be, welcome to another episode of Broadway Breakdown Subset, My Obsession. Once again, I am your co-host, Matt Koplik. John Miscavige is still in quarantine in Stephen Sondheim's basement. We hope to hear from him soon. In the meantime, we have the wonderful Mr. Gabe Gibbs with us today. Hello, Gabe.
Hello, Matt. How are you?
I am doing so great. How are you doing today?
I'm good, man. You know, it's trying to not have too much cabin fever, but
you're
excited to talk to you about our obsessions.
It's very exciting today. We'll get to that in just a minute, but let's introduce the audience to Gabe, who he is, what he's done, why he deserves to be listened to today. I'll start with the fact that you guys can't see it, but Gabe has a luscious beard on him today.
And
he's got a wedding ring. He's married. He's a married man. So
yeah,
even though you're quite a few years younger than me, you are really older than me in a lot of ways.
Yeah. I don't know if marriage makes me older, but I do think the beard does. The beard does give me a lot more gravitas than I've had in the past.
Oh yeah. And you also have a very gravitas-esque voice. I don't know what the other word for that is, but the synonym for gravitas could be.
I hear you. It's full of gravitosity, I think, is what.
Gravitosity, yes. Defying gravitosity.
Oh my God.
Anyway, some of you might have seen Gabe on the Broadway stage or national tour stage in Book of Mormon. You might have seen him on your TV sets on that show that you post about a lot. What's it called?
It's called Schooled. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm the worst host in the world.
No, that's fine.
That was on ABC, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. It's on ABC. It's a spinoff of The Goldbergs. So.
Right. And you played a high school jock in that, correct?
Mm-hmm. I play a dumb little jock named Weasel. They part my hair dead center because it's a 90s show. So it's like a bad Jonathan Taylor Thomas situation.
Yeah. I see you post videos and photos from the show sometimes with that part. And I'm like, why would they do that to him? I see that hairstyle. I'm like, that's just mean.
Yeah. It's not a great look. It's not a great look, but it serves the comedic purposes it needs to serve.
Also, if you guys are wondering why, this is the meat I actually want to get into before your obsession.
Sure.
If you guys are wondering why the sound quality of Gabe's voice is better than our last two episodes, it's because Gabe himself has a podcast and therefore good recording equipment. Gabe has a podcast that just started this year called Musicals That Never Made It. He and his co-writer Josh Collier write these musicals that are like 20-ish minutes. And they have two other actors. One is our mutual friend, Abby Goldfarb, also a former guest of the pod. And you guys usually bring on a guest actor for each one.
Mm-hmm.
So I listened to all of it in a day.
Oh, sweet. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So you were posting about it. And I was like, yeah, I'll get to it. And then I don't know what it was. Oh, you posted the episode about Julia Madison.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, well, I might as well start from the beginning. And just proceeded to listen to all of them. It helps that I was waiting online at the post office.
There you go.
Well, with COVID going on right now, like the post office is 3 times slower than it usually is. So I had the time. But it was, I gotta say, guys, it is very enjoyable. I did not know that you wrote. That is something new to me.
Yeah, it's a little bit new to me. It's something that I had done passively that my manager like 2 years ago was like, hey, you should take that a little more seriously. Like I had written kind of passively, mostly just messing around and like doing silly things for Instagram or whatever, but then started taking
it seriously. I can't relate to that at all.
Yeah, dude. That's been my favorite thing is everybody doing all their little quarantine sketches.
Oh yeah, it's fun.
If you haven't already checked out Matt's stuffed animal sketches, it's in the vein of what was that app that was existing where for a while for people to do like lip syncs over
Dub Smash.
Dub Smash, yes. It's like Dub Smash to the max. It's very fun. Yes,
very much to the max. We can get into my shit in a second, but let's go back to your writing.
Yeah, yeah. It's sort of it's something that I've always been doing, but not taking it seriously enough to trust myself to try something fun and put it out. And the podcast was sort of the first of hopefully many things where I don't want to say I'm taking it seriously like it's a serious, you know.
Well, no, but you do. It's a funny podcast, but what makes it funny is you guys put in the work for it, you know?
Yeah, like this. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I don't give compliments out lightly.
I know. That's why I'm very flattered right now.
That's all you should be. No, I always say, I hate it when people say like, oh, this thing isn't trying to break the mold. It's not trying to be groundbreaking. Because usually that is code for it's not well written. It's not well done.
Sure, sure.
I could name some show names. Lord knows I have, but the list is long.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm of the mind frame of if you're going to be silly and stupid, do the work for me so I don't have to, you know, suspend my disbelief so much and like have to bend so much. And
yeah,
honestly, guys, like these things, these musicals really do that. You guys are really good with lyrics. Your rhymes are very on point. The two things that I really like, the recurring jokes, one is that you always start with like the opening number and then you're like, end of act one, scene one, jump cut to act two, scene four. And I'm like, like you always fast forward an hour and a half. And I'm like, oh, and it's always like, it's like Jeremy is now on his deathbed. I'm like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
But I do love that shit. I love those jokes. And then also you guys get a personal phone call from Lin-Manuel Miranda every time.
It's going to happen.
It'll absolutely happen. And the music is really well done. It's very well produced. You know,
thank you.
I mean, the idea is like you are two straight boys who are just sort of fucking around in the garage, but the quality is so good that I can allow you to do that.
Oh, good.
As a gay Jew who's like, you are on my turf, you are on the musical theater territory.
Yeah, yeah.
Allowing you to visit. Your skateboard musical with Gray Henson.
Yeah.
First of all, did you notice while editing this that you two sound similar?
Yeah, that's so funny. We've got, first of all, we're doing like silly, like skateboarder voices and like everyone sort of arrives at the same voice.
Pretty much. I mean, it's really just kind of like going around the corner from where you usually live or where your voice usually lives.
You're totally right. You're totally right. I'm always one step away from absolute surf bro.
Yeah, but I do love it. But anyway, so first of all, I'm jumping all around, but they've had Gray Henson and Barrett Wilbert Weed and Julia Madison. Who are some other people that you're about to have on?
We're about to have, we're going to have Krystalyn Lloyd, who was in Dear Evan Hansen. And then our first season is only going to be six, and our season finale is Drew Gehling doing a of course the premise of the show is we are writing these musicals that we think are brilliant, and they're all sort of inspired by other musicals we've seen, and our finale is called The Great Zazine, and it's a Greatest Showman spoof with like Drew Gehling playing the sort of he's like a washed up children's television magician. It's such a bad premise for a musical, which is sort of the point of all of them. They're all terrible premises.
This is all to say a joke that you did with the Gray Henson one that I was working out to it because I listened to it again this morning and I laughed out loud because I forgot about it. You two, it's like the opening number and it's all about like, it's summertime, we're gonna go to the skate park. And I don't know if it, again, I can't tell you if it's Gray Henson or you because voices are interchangeable. One of you says, I also like realize I'm not going to have piano this summer. And the other one's like, oh yeah, tell me what you think about that. And then he goes right into the verse.
Thank you. Oh my God, Matt, this podcast is for you. Yeah, it was my line. Gray's excited to not have piano lessons. And it's like, it's one of my favorite lines in the scene.
It's
tell me more about how you feel about that.
Tell me more about how you feel about that. And then he goes right into the song. And that's It works in so many levels, and I'll flatter you for like another minute or so, because we're about to get in your obsession, and yeah. I'm gonna not flatter you at all.
I know it's gonna be embarrassing. I can already tell.
But I can't wait. It's one of those things where if you're gonna spoof musical theater, because like musical theater is ridiculous when you think about it in general, right? Like people are breaking out into song and dance, and it's all very heightened. So. If you're going to make it work on one of two levels, you either have to make it work so that all the emotions are heightened enough so the singing makes sense, or you go the opposite direction and nothing is really worth singing about, but you still adhere to the structure. So like, it's just like, I'm not going to have piano. Tell me more. I don't know. I just think it's so fucking funny. How do you guys usually come to write music together? Like what sort of, Is there like usually an order? Is it sort of just like all over the place? Is there usually an idea at the center? How does that go?
Yeah, it's a little like for this project in particular, we would often start with a bad premise. It would be like, what's a terrible title that you should never make a musical? And then what's a style of musical we would want to put onto that? Mm-hmm. And then we're sort of like mapping like, like we know that there's going to be some sort of opening, like we know the tropes of musical theater where you've got like an opening number, you've got an I want song, you've got an act, and they all have sort of bones that are the same, even though the styles are different. So it would be like, if we're going to do like the one we have with Crystal and Lloyd coming out, it's called Oprah's Day Off. And the whole premise of the show is that Oprah finds out she has a day off and doesn't know what to do. It's the whole premise of the show. So it's you've got, and we tried to map like a Disney sort of vibe onto it. So then you know what the opening number of that is going to feel like. It's going to feel Menken-y. And so then I know like tonally where I want it to be. So then usually what happens is I would create like bones of a song where I'd be like, it's going to be this. And I'd send Josh sort of like a bad piano vocal demo that like, is just a soft idea. Mm-hmm. And then Josh will send back something a little more fleshed out musically. He's got a better ear for like, what if this keyboard is this patch? And what if, I was listening to the Frozen 2, soundtrack, and they use a lot of this kind of a thing. And how do we make a version that sort of smells like that, but is a worse version of it? You know what I mean? So
yeah.
But it's usually me sending like a B- bones of a song, and then Josh sending, I'm sure he would say the opposite, but it's me sending a B- bones of a song and Josh sending me back like, you mean this? And I'm like,
oh, is this what you're trying to do, you little stupid bird? Is there a lyric that you've written for this so far that you're like, you look back and you're like, listen, I know that I'm a stupid idiot, but like this lyric is fucking tits.
There is. I mean, fucking tits in the sense that it's so perfectly bad. We have a song in our finale. It's our final episode. It's about a terrible washed up magician. Drew Gehling absolutely crushed it. He came in and like learned five songs in 5 minutes and like blew it out the water. Anyway, it's a song called Ace of Sad. And the lyric is, it's so bad, dude. My chains of sadness are all ironclad. Pick a card, any card, they're all the ace of sad. is my favorite lyric of the whole season. It's so impossibly bad, but part of our shtick in the podcast that we like is you could see these two guys convincing themselves that this is a great idea, that like these metaphors in these lyrics are so amazing and so impactful, like
so profound, like like we are the voices of a generation,
right? That's like the whole shtick is these guys think that they are, and then they write a lyric like Ace of Sad.
Yeah, I also just the timing is perfect because after I finished listening to all of it, I'm in the middle of marathoning Grey's Anatomy or binging Grey's Anatomy, which I've never really watched it completely before. Yeah. And I don't know if you know this, they have a musical episode.
Oh, that's right. Because What's Her Butt was in Spamalot, right?
Sarah Ramirez. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. She's a singer, dude. Is anyone else a singer?
Well, that's a wonderful question.
Great. Great.
Sandra Oh and Patrick Dempsey do not sing at all. Like they fully step aside. Ellen Pompeo, I think, sings like two lines for the entire episode. It's just bad. It's bad. It's bad. So I was like, I went back to listen to the Gray Henson one today to just sort of like go, is this actually good? Is this actually funny? Or am I just being nice? I was like, no, this is actually good. I'm not, because I'm not a nice person.
Yeah.
fun fact, I had someone listen to this podcast after matching with me on Hinge. And then he was like, I don't think we should talk anymore because I listened to your podcast and you don't seem like a nice person.
Oh my God, dude. No. No.
So that's fun.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was great. So I promptly had like three glasses of wine, ate some gummy bears, and was like, you know what? Maybe I'm not a nice person, but people still talk to me anyway.
Yes, yes, yes. I disagree with Hinge or Bumble or what did you say? Hinge?
It was Hinge, yeah.
I disagree with Hinge.
You think I'm a nice person?
I don't know if you're a nice person because nice, I think you're kind. I think you're kind.
Oh, thank you.
I wouldn't label you nice.
Well, why is that?
I think honestly, sometimes being called a nice guy is not necessarily the greatest compliment either. Nice implies pushover. I think you're certainly not a pushover.
Well, thank you. I mean, you can push me over, but you have to do something to me if you're going to do that.
Billy, I beg to differ with you.
How do you mean?
You're the top.
Yeah.
You're an arrow collar. You're the top. You're a Coolidge dollar.
Gabe has an obsession, and this is an interesting one, guys. We're going to, because this might be the first time in existence that someone has an obsession that they actually don't know that much about.
Yes.
But I love that. I love that for you. What is your obsession, Gabe?
Here's my obsession. So I don't know how I got it, but there was a time in high school where everyone, did you have this, where everybody was like, you'd like plug your iPod into someone else's computer and they would like drag and drop stuff. So there was a time in high school where it was when I decided I was like really into musical theater. It was like sophomore, junior year. Mm-hmm. And like me and a couple other theater kids, we were all like sharing soundtracks or cast albums. And
I appreciate you making the distinction. Thank you.
I know. My bad.
No, it's fine. I wasn't going to correct you.
So I got a couple of them that, you know, I never listened to. Not that I was anti them, but one of which that somehow they've all disappeared as I've gotten new iPhones over the years, but still on my iTunes is The Drowsy Chaperone. And I've never seen it and I've never listened to it front to back. It just comes up on shuffle. And so it's out of order. So then you'll get like 15 seconds. Like today I was driving to pick up some groceries. And it's 15 seconds and it was like Beatrice Stockwell, blah, 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 blah. And so is she the one? We'll get into it in a second.
No, okay.
Long story short is I think I love that show. I have no idea. I don't know. I have like a sense of what it's about, and maybe I can just describe to you what I think the show is and then you can correct me or whatever. But I've never seen it. I've only heard it out of order. I know there's a narrator. I do know that Aldolfo was, what's his name? He was just in Fiddler. He's in everything.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going
to? I'm not giving you
you're gonna wait.
Lifesaver for that. No, you're going to have to.
Danny Burstein.
There you go.
Am I right?
Yes, you are. See, you got to sometimes push the bird out of the nest and they fly.
Which I don't think would fly as a casting anymore.
We'll get into that, and that's why it's important that you actually know what the show is about.
Okay.
It would, but for different reasons.
Okay, great.
Yes.
Great.
Not for good reasons. So that is how you came to know Drowsy Chaperone was through like iPod shuffling and all that stuff. Okay. And you never listened to it all the way through.
I think I have heard all of the songs.
But not in the order that it's supposed to be.
I don't think so.
Okay, fantastic.
I don't think so.
Okay, so let's ask some basic questions. What is a track that you really like a lot when you listen to it?
Oh, dude, I think I Am El Delfo is comedically like money. That song is absolute money. It's here's also the problem is I have Little Women on there too. So there's two Sutton Foster tracks that, or two Sutton Foster shows that get jumbled in my brain.
Sure.
But I Don't Want to Show Off is from Drowsy.
Drowsy, yes.
That one also, like the tags and the buttons on the end of that, it's just it's just fucking money, dude.
Have you ever watched the Tony performance from that where she does it?
No, I should, huh?
Yeah. So full disclosure, Gabe gave me some options and he mentioned like how he had never actually seen Drowsy Chaperone. And I was like, oh, you know, there's a bootleg on YouTube. You could totally watch it, get yourself more familiarized. And he was like, no, I don't wanna. Gabe Gibbs and Drowsy Chaperone might be the best argument for bootleg watching.
Okay.
I'm just telling for the people on their high horses. They're like, no, bootlegs are illegal. And I'm like, yeah, but here we have a poor soul who needs to know.
All right.
Because not only is Show Off an awesome song, like when you watch Sutton do it physically, you're ready to give her your firstborn, you know?
Okay.
At least I was.
Amazing.
So what do you think the show is about?
Well, the thing that helps is there is the narrator boy who talks us through the show.
Do you know his character name?
It's like Man in Chair or
that's
something.
That's literally what it. That's, yes.
Is it really?
Yeah. Man in Chair.
Sick. My guess is he probably sits on stage the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's playing from like a, he's playing vinyl or a record or something.
Mm-hmm.
And is the premise that this was a show back in the day or a movie from
a show? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
The premise is that it's one of his favorite musicals. It's obviously like fictional in our world.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, this is a vinyl that is literally the entire show, dialogue and all. And he plays it. And as he plays it, it comes to life in his living room with him giving commentary the entire time.
And is he fourth wall breaking, talking to audience, or is he
to the audience?
I didn't know
if he
was like talking to like a kid or something.
Yeah. Like that little girl in Once on This Island, who's just there, who does literally nothing, which is honestly my dream role. I would just love to be the little girl. To have no lines, no music whatsoever,
yeah.
And just react to everything. Like, wouldn't that be perfect?
That would be perfect.
Yeah. So yes, no, he's speaking to us. He's speaking to the audience.
I'm Janet Van De Graaff, here to marry Robert Martin, giving up a life of glamour to tie the knot.
I kind of just want to keep hearing you ask these questions because it's giving me such life.
I know. I knew. That's why I didn't watch the bootleg before this, because I knew you would enjoy me stumbling around something that you probably know so well.
I don't know what you're referring to. I know very little about musical theater, but one could say as you stumble along, I don't want to show off as you stumble along.
No.
Ba-dum-bum.
No.
I absolutely hear you. What are some other questions you have before I jump into just breaking any fantasies you have about this show and what it's about?
So there's El Delfo.
Yes.
Who is a movie star who's, everyone's like converging on a wedding.
Yes, there's a what. So there, that's
the wedding of the Sutton Foster character.
Yes, that's the other thing you have to remember is that there's the plot of the musical, The Drowsy Chaperone, as well as backstage info on the quote unquote actors playing those roles. So like Sutton Foster is playing an actress playing Janet Van De Graaff. It's like four layers. It's a parfait.
So Man in Chair.
Yes.
Says Beatrice Stockwell, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
And that woman is a fictional actress.
Yes.
Who played the character of such and such in Drowsy Chaperone.
Yes. So yes, Beth Level, Tony Award winner Beth Level for this show, actually.
Oh, cool.
Yes, she plays Beatrix Stockwell, who is playing the part of the drowsy chaperone.
Got it.
You're doing pretty well, I must say.
Okay, good, 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 good.
And I listened to some of the cast album this morning to like familiarize myself with what you would what your exposure would be to this.
Yeah.
And it does not do a great job of really not of sort of explaining what this thing is. So this is I wouldn't say this is the first meta musical, because Urinetown probably is that, like a musical that's aware it's a musical. But God, this is definitely the first.
So fucking good. Do you like Urinetown? Did I stumble into something?
You stumble into everything. I do love Urinetown. No, I love Urinetown. Have you played Bobby Strong? I feel like you have.
I did in high school. Does that count? Yeah, high school. Yeah, it was my favorite thing. It was my favorite thing to be a part of. Although, I don't think high schoolers should try to sing "Run Freedom Run" in the way that. Yeah, it just. Anyway.
I mean,
it's just too hard of a song for a 16-year-old.
I mean,
although those fucking Jimmy Awards kids, man, are you kidding me? That's a whole other episode.
They're all on Broadway now. Jimmy Award kids are just taking over Broadway. Renee Rapp needs to just sit down, because no one likes to feel bad about themselves.
I did. I did throw heavy quotes. We'll go back in 1 second. I did throw heavy quotes over a masterclass. I did one when I was on tour, and the Mormon was stopped in Detroit. Mm-hmm. I did a masterclass at the high school that Antonio Cipriano went to. You know who that is? He's in Jagged Little Pill. He's Broadway's new handsomest man in the world, and he has like such a great voice. And he was 17 at the time, maybe 18. Mm-hmm. And he was like, afterwards we were chatting, and he was like, I don't know, man, like, I feel like maybe I should go to New York, or I should whatever. And what I didn't want to say was, oh, you're better than everyone that I've ever worked with. You will be just fine. All these kids under 20, man, kids, seven, it's not like I'm that.
But
they're so much better than us.
First of all, I don't know what you're referring to. I am the most talented individual who's ever lived. The only reason I haven't booked Broadway is I keep refusing them.
Yeah, I forgot about that. I forgot about your famous your famous career choice of refusing Broadway over and over.
Over and over and over again. Yeah, no, I do really like Urinetown. I would love there to be some director brave enough to let me do a gender-bent Little Sally, because that is truly my role.
Amazing.
Yeah, I guess you don't want to overload them with too much exposition, huh?
Yeah.
That's my fucking track.
Yeah, dude.
But Drowsy Chaperone is probably the first musical I can think of that has like insidery commentary. Like watching the Drowsy Chaperone is like sitting down with me and watching a bootleg of something.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I love, but some people might be like, no, thank you. 2 hours of that. No, thank you. There's a whole lot of levels to the show. And I'd be very interested if you do eventually watch the bootleg, what you think of it, because not only is there commentary on the show itself, but there's all this stuff that you find out sort of secondhand about the man in chair and his life and what has sort of brought him to this moment. Oh yeah. And like why the show means a lot to him. That you find out that he once was married, and like obviously that didn't go well, and he has bills he has to pay and all this other stuff. And he talks about why, and this is really what makes the show so touching in the end, is why musical theater means so much to him, and why this show in particular, because like it's not a South Pacific or a Chorus Line where it deals with very deep themes like homosexuality and racism. Sure. You know, the biggest plot point in Drowsy Chaperone is Sutton Foster's upset because her fiance kissed a French girl that was actually Sutton Foster putting on a French accent. Like big wrench in the plans.
Oh my God. Wait, that's, I've caught that plot point, but I didn't know that it was her as a French girl.
It's one of my favorite jokes, actually. Robert kissed a French girl. Her name is Mimi. She's very beautiful. And she says it because it's Sutton Foster.
That's funny.
Yeah, the joke is that like they're not supposed to see each other before the wedding. So in order to take his mind off of his wedding jitters, he goes roller skating in the garden, but his best man puts a blindfold on him. And so Sutton Foster runs into him in the garden, but she pretends that that she's not Sutton Foster, that she's this French girl, Mimi. So that way she can know how he truly feels about her. And they kiss. And then she's like, you kissed a French girl. And he's like, but it felt like it was you. And by the end of the show, she's like, oh, Robert, it was me. Oh, and the manager is like, I know, guys, just like deal with it. I know this plot point makes no sense. Just fucking deal with it.
That's very funny.
Yeah, it's so funny. And the whole and he like talks about things that don't make sense or things that are really good. So like there's a whole scene that is just a spit take over and over because the show takes place during Prohibition. So the old lady, the great dress lady, has a whole scene with her butler where she's like, if anybody wants vodka, they're going to ask for a glass of ice water. She's like, got it. And the butler's like, got it. And she goes, so can I have some ice water? And she just actually wants water, but he keeps giving her vodka and she keeps spit taking vodka in his face. And at the end of it, the man in chair is like, I know it's stupid. He goes, but it's complicated machinery. It's a plot device that's necessary. It's like pornography. And he takes a long pause and he goes, let me explain what I mean by that. And so he's like, you know, this was a 1920s musical and they had a scene change they needed. So they put a drop before, like, you know, the 1980s mega musical, like complex scene changes. He's like, they would put a scrim down. The scene would happen in front of the scrim while they changed the set behind it. And he goes, and in pornography, it's, you know, you have to go through the logistics to get to the good part. Like, oh, how do I pay for this pizza? Wow. So like, it's a crazy metaphor, but it works. Mm. There's a whole other layer that the cast album doesn't get to, and I want you to see it.
All right.
But like, what is it about it that you got obsessed with so little knowledge of the rest of it? That's what interests me.
Yeah, I think, I'm trying to think, Show Off is just like, as a standalone song is amazing. I Am El Dolfo as a standalone song is amazing. Monkey on a Pedestal makes no fucking sense out of context. Mm-hmm. It might not even make sense in context, which I think is the point.
Yeah, the point. Okay. Yeah, she like calls him, she calls her fiance, her little monkey. And so they use the monkey as a metaphor in her like big tragic bride's lament song. And it doesn't work. But what makes it funny is that Sutton Foster just sells the fucking shit out of it.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, I just like, I'm a sucker for a good comedic song done well. I think Danny Burstein just crushes the El Dolfo stuff. I just think like, especially when you're hiding plot a little bit in a joke. Sure. Do you know what I'm saying? Like you're learning a little bit about who El Dolfo is in this fucking nuts song, and you're learning a ton of what's going on in the Show Off number. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of plot happening there, all covered up with this great punchline that you just keep ringing that bell. I think it's great. And anytime you can do the, I don't know if it's a South Parkism, but South Park does the calling it the I really mean it tagline. You know what I mean? Anytime you're like circling back to some, when she does the how it key changes and when she, you know what I mean? Anytime it keeps tagging this thing and like you're revving yourself up, anytime you're doing that.
I really mean it. In Cal's Mom's a Bitch. Cal's Mom. Yeah.
That sort of a thing. Anytime you're tagging. Mm-hmm. Multiple times and it works. I'm an absolute sucker. I honestly have that was my obsession, was like, you've got the actor has to have good timing and then the music has to make sense to service the joke, and it just is like I just think
it has a lot of layers.
Now who's the fella that you see?
El Dolfo.
And how should you refer to me?
El Dolfo.
And who is it I'll always be?
El Dolfo.
Now sing it proudly.
You are El Dolfo.
Danny, Brittany Burstein.
Yes.
And Rodolfo. First of all, yes, comedic genius.
Yes.
Here's why it could still work with him playing that role. So as we mentioned, Drowsy Chaperone is a fictional musical being played by fictional actors that real actors are playing. So it's it's real actors playing fake people, playing fake characters.
I get what you're saying. Yes. Okay.
So Danny Burstein's character, I already forgot the name. I should find it on my iTunes. The actor who sings Adolfo, Roman Bartelli. The whole joke about him, and I don't know if it's on the cast album, which actually makes the bonus track of Message from a Nightingale really cringeworthy. Do you know that track? The I Ring a Message from a Nightingale.
Oh, the really dicey Asian song. Yeah, that is not a wise. Also a problem in Millie. Anyway, yeah. Keep going.
Well, so Millie, it's a problem because...
Isn't it based on a movie and there's not that extra layer of like, LOL, these actors playing this?
A little bit, yeah. And Millie's trying to have it both ways. It's trying to be a lighthearted romp about the 1920s while also treating its characters with respect, but it doesn't do the respect part, which is like fine when it's, you know, white people and their privilege, but when it's Asian people working in the basement doing laundry speaking Chinese, it's like a little in order for the playing field to be even for everyone to get like their amount of jokes, way like Family Guy's always like make fun of everything so that way everything's even, it's like, well, we have to level the playing field in terms of just like respect in general, like everyone has to have the same opportunities in order for us to like make fun of everyone equally. Anyway, Drowsy Chaperone, the whole like joke is that the 1920s were very racist and very demeaning to women and like everyone. So the idea is that Danny Burstein is playing a character actor who like his whole shtick was that he always played different nationalities and never well. So it's very,
very
offensive. Yeah.
Okay.
And so there's actually a joke. So the whole purpose of Message from a Nightingale and fuck it, I'm just gonna ruin it for you, but I think you'll like it a lot when you watch the video, is that after Toledo Surprise, Manachar is like, that's the end of Act One of Drowsy Chaperone, and normally there would be an intermission, but like, we're not at the Drowsy Chaperone, so there is no intermission, and he's like, I'm gonna go pee, and I'm gonna put on Act Two, and you guys can like listen to the entract, and so he goes to pee, and all of a sudden, Message from a Nightingale plays, and it's this like giant, ornate, Asian like motif, and everyone's in like these giant costumes. Beth Level is doing her best Anna from King and I, and Danny Burstein is basically doing the King from the King and I. And halfway through the song, Manachar runs on, stops the song, and he goes, I'm so sorry, that is not the Drowsy Chaperone, that is another musical entirely. And he takes off the record, the set goes away, everyone walks off stage, and he puts on the Drowsy Chaperone Act Two.
Oh my god, that's very funny. I like
it's
that.
Very funny. And
that's great.
and then he goes on to say like, oh, it's act, but it is, he says like, I have a woman who comes in to clean once in a while, and I'm always telling her not to touch my records, but she does. And sometimes she puts them in the wrong sleeves. And funny, so that's why that happened. And he's like, Roman Bartelli, he plays the king. Yes. He was a man of 1,000 accents, all of them insulting.
amazing. Yeah. Okay, so it sounds like perhaps there's a bonus layer there that allows us to do those things.
Yes, that the album does not give you. Like, yeah. I was listening to it this morning, and I got to Message from a Nightingale. I'm like, oh wow, when you don't know that this is supposed to be offensive and it's incorrect, like it's very offensive.
Yeah. Oof. Like
Danny Burstein's playing an Asian character doing L's for R's, R's for L. It's all very, very bad.
Not good. As we stumble along, cross life's crowded dance floors, as we push and we shove, we live and we learn. And when
is this a show that you would like to have to do one day? Like, would you like to be in it?
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly haven't seen it, so it's hard for me to gauge, but the music is fun. I like the When a Hat on a Hat is done well, like the play within a play thing is done well. I like that. I mean, yeah, yes. I don't know it. I obviously don't know it that well, but I think the short answer is yes.
It's so fascinating to me. I really do. This is the first time. Well, no. John did an obsession about the Cats movie and he had only seen it like 3 days earlier. So it was a new obsession for him, but he at least had seen it.
Yeah. Wow.
Gave his 10 years of experience with Drowsy Chaperone, but he's never actually seen it, nor does he really know what it's about. And I love, first of all, anyone who doesn't know you, they might be like, ugh, this straight boy. But anyone who knows you is like, yeah, no, that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like,
look, this is the high quality guest that you're getting, man. Someone who's never seen the thing that he's trying to talk about for an hour.
but I love that. I do. It's like saying, oh yeah, my favorite book is Catcher in the Rye. Oh, I've only read like the Wikipedia page.
Right. I spark notes it 10 years ago and I'd love to talk about it.
I mean, my paper got a B-, but we could talk about it.
Dude. Don't even get me started on how SparkNotes is definitely the way to get through academia.
we're kidding, children. Don't do that as you do your homeschooling in quarantine. Don't ever. Because if you
are they in school yet? Let the kids go to. In summer. Are they in summer yet? Let the kids have summer. Come on.
You went from saying
of the all the problems in the world, this is the one I want to stand for.
Give the kids their summer.
Give the kids their summer so they can stay inside.
I absolutely hear you. I feel bad, which is why I'm trying to create this quality content so they can have something entertaining to watch every now and then, you know?
Yes.
Did you see the last one I just did, the one with RuPaul, the Brady Bunch with Jan?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that was a decent one. I'm not going to hold you to watching all of them. I've done like 10 at this point and they're not all winners, but it's like,
what are some highlights if I need to go back and rewatch?
I don't know which
RuPaul one was funny. I've seen it's the Reese Witherspoon movie and
Legally Blonde.
Thank you.
Golly. Yeah, that one's okay.
Legally Blonde. Okay. I thought it was cute.
Yeah. It's cute. I have a Bridesmaids one that I think is really good. That's the very first one I ever did. I have a South Park movie one that I personally am very proud of. I thought that
okay.
South Park one's really great. I have a It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia one. I don't know if you've
familiar
with that show. Honestly, Gabe, like they're 35 seconds long and what else are you going to do today? Just go through them all.
If you will man and share them all, I'll play them, I'll pause them, I'll describe what I like about them and why they're funny.
Please do. I mean, I did my due diligence and listened to your awesome podcast while in line at the post office. So the least you could do is go through my semi awesome videos.
Oh, fuck, you're right.
I mean, yeah. Listen, if I haven't shamed you a little bit, I haven't stayed true to who I am.
Right. You haven't done your job because as we learned, you're not nice.
I'm kind though.
You are kind though.
Yes, it is a kindness. let's wrap this up. Let's cap this off with Drowsy Chaperone.
Okay.
Things that you feel when you listen to it. And I know that it's always brief because like it's always on shuffle with you, but like
when it
pops up, like things that you feel or think about.
I do, now that you mention it, I do vaguely remember the monologue that Man in Chair has about why he likes theater, and I know you're about to monologue it and it would actually really help me to remember
what he says,
but the gist of it I really loved.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, now that I've brought it up, I can't remember a single fucking pull quote from it. But I do remember that the way he lands the plane, I think, is nice. Ooh, is that an Aviatrix joke?
There you go.
Oh my God. That, and then I think it's one of the, I think it's what makes people dislike Broadway shows or like them so much. Mm-hmm. When you have moments that are played so out and so big and so over the top, and when you've got I don't know it that well, so it's all it is El Delfo and Show Off that I think mm-hmm. are like so great, but it's that thing that like the little 14, 15, 12, 10, however old you were when you were like, oh, this is cool. I think I like this. Mm. It triggers that when you're like, regardless of your, who you are, the package you come in, you sort of want to do the show off number. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, I want to do that. You know what I mean? It's like, I think there's something about that. And then, I don't know. I'm sure you're going to tell me the monologue he says, and I'm going to go, yes, that's what I like about it. But
I don't know it verbatim. The gist of it is just sort of that it does what a musical is supposed to do. Like, it takes you away, it that sort of thing. I want you to also watch, because they don't include, I don't think they include enough of his stuff, because his stuff is just so good. The musical opens with him monologuing in the dark and talking about like why he hates theater now. And he goes, I always pray when I'm about to see a show, please God, let it be a good show. he goes, let the actor stay on the stage, God. Like, I didn't pay $100 to have the fourth wall come crashing down around me.
Yeah.
And then my other favorite thing he says is, can you imagine back in the day, people used to sit in a theater and going, can Rodgers and Hammerstein do it again? What has George Gershwin got for me tonight? Now we think, please, Elton John, must we continue this charade?
Dude, that's very funny. And that was written 20 years ago, 15 years ago?
15 years ago, yeah.
Dude, that's another separate issue of like, what can we get? I would love more original shows look, if somebody wants to pay me to write some movie turned musical, I'm there, man. I'm in.
Is there a movie you'd want to do? Is like there anything that you've thought of?
Ooh, dude, good question. Do you have an answer to that while I think of mine?
The only movie that I really want to turn into a musical is not one that I would recommend for you, because I don't know. Maybe it might go out of your comfort zone. It's a French film called Romantics Anonymous. And there's comedic moments to it, but it's mostly just very sweet. And it's about two agoraphobes who end up working together in a struggling chocolate factory and kind of fall in love. Yeah. And she's like actually a very talented chocolate chef, but she isn't good at like promoting herself. So she doesn't get hired to do that. She gets hired to like sell the chocolate to the stores. And she always sings The Sound of Music, I Have Confidence in Me, before she goes into every store because she's so petrified of talking to people.
Aww.
And he's the manager and he has really bad people skills. So he's always just like in his office, not talking to people, and people think that he's rude. The movie's also an advocation for therapy because she goes to group therapy and he has a therapist. So it's constantly like crossing between the story and their therapy sessions, and they fall in love. It's cute.
Sick.
Yeah. But I think it would make a lovely musical. I don't know if it's for you, but if you wanted to like try your hand at like sentimentality for like sentimentality's sake,
You think I can't be earnest, Matt? You think I can't be an earnest boy?
I mean, I'd believe you more if you weren't giving me the finger right now when you said that.
Well, then now I have to have an answer of, oh, you know what? I know what I think I know what I would do. It kind of already is one, but I think you could do a cool, I think you could turn that thing you do into a cool musical. It's already sort of one.
With
I don't
Jersey
know,
Boys?
Now that I've said it out loud. Say what?
With like Jersey Boys?
No, that's the... it's the Tom Hanks one about
I know the movie, I know, but what musical did it become?
Oh, I don't think it is one yet. I'm saying it feels musical in the current form that it's in, is what I meant. So that's I don't know how much like new music would exist or if any. The problem is the fun of that is that it's not narrative music. It's just like fun bops, but whatever. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out together. But that's the thing. I think you could find something there. Make it sort of like a cross between Jersey Boys and Dreamgirls, which I don't know how familiar you are with Dreamgirls, but it's a similar story of, you know, group of that era going through like the music industry. But the difference is that thing you do, they become literally one-hit wonders.
Yeah.
I'm not a composer, but I have a lot of opinions. And as someone who doesn't write music but has opinions, maybe there's a lot of fun to be had of like, because you have to include the song from the movie. Like that song is iconic.
Of course.
But sort of including snippets of the motif or ideas of the motif in the beginning of it. So there's like the idea of that the song kind of conjuring itself before they really create it. I don't know if you, how familiar you are with Merrily We Roll Along.
Not that familiar. Matt, this is why, this is the problem. You brought me on your podcast and you know all the musicals and you know who wrote them and who was in them.
But Gabe, one of us has been on TV and one of us has a podcast where they write musicals with Tony nominees. I am not that person. You're that person. So it's my job to give you more information so that your second season is even more baller than your first.
Wow. All right. And and now I feel safe again.
As well you should. I am the man behind the curtain, but you're the curtain. You're the window dressing, sweetheart. No, but my point was that in Merrily, there's a song that like makes the two main characters very famous, and you hear it throughout most of the show because Merrily goes backwards. And then there's a song in Act One where you hear, I love that that's like, that's news to you. Anyone who knows Merrily knows that it goes backwards. But anyway, the song that the two main characters get famous for, there's a song in Act Two in their youth while they're like kind of creating it, and you hear the character like figure out the melody of the song that we all eventually know. So I feel like doing that in reverse for that thing you do would be fun to like play with the melody everybody knows and watching them figure it out throughout that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just an idea for you as you go off and you write it.
Yeah. Would Tom Hanks give me the rights, do you think?
I mean, he seems like a nice enough guy. Maybe not.
He
I
does
don't know.
Seem like a nice guy. That's what I've heard.
Yeah. Send him Ollie Ollie Oxenfree. I feel like he would enjoy that. Is that the name? Is that the one of it? Ollie Ollie Oxenfree.
Yeah, dude. Thank you. Oh my God.
Welcome. I was trying to remember. I've got good memory. Anyway, Gabe, where can people find you on the social medias?
You can find me on Instagram. I have a Twitter account. I don't use it that much, but you can find me on Instagram. I'm just at Gabe Gibbs.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much everywhere. So that's that. And then our musicals podcast is just at Musicals Pod on Instagram as well.
Fantastic. And depending on when this episode comes out, it might be in a week or 2 weeks, they can check out the newest episode of Crystalyn Lloyd or with Drew Gayling. But there's plenty of other stuff not before that. And are you guys already working on material for the second season?
Yes is the short answer. The long answer is nobody knows when anything's going to be made, and I'm in LA and we record in New York. So TBD on getting people in the same room with each other, but hopefully
fingers crossed, all the more time to refine that shit, you know?
That's what I'm saying. There you go.
Yeah. Y'all can find me on Instagram at Matt Koplik. No Twitter for me, which I should probably get into because that seems to be how people find you now.
Dude, you'd be great on Twitter.
I just hate it. I really don't like it. It's people are mean. And
that's true. People are mean, but you're smart and you have quick whips that you'd toss out into the Twitterverse that I think would do well.
Yeah. I guess it's a healthier way of quote unquote whipping it out than how I currently am. But that's neither here nor there. Once again, guys, please subscribe, review us, or just give us a nice little rating. As Gabe knows, those things help with the algorithms of iTunes. You don't have to write a super gay review, just give us a rating. We really appreciate it. Just 5 stars. It's simple. It's just a little click. What else are you gonna do? What else are you gonna do with your time? Just not click the 5 stars? Are you really gonna be that person? Sandra. I'm assuming her name is Sandra.
Yeah, she would be a Sandra. Sandra's a 3-star gal.
So Gabe, we end every episode with a Broadway diva to like play us out. I have the list of the ones we have done. I won't list them all because it's too many, but why don't you give me 2 or 3 options and I'll tell you if we have done any of them.
Oh man. Well, I mean, we can consider Barrett Weed a Broadway diva, right?
We can. Unfortunately, we did do her like 3 or 4 weeks ago. I'm so sorry.
Fuck, dude.
I know you actually, of all the people to come in this late into the like our podcast history, you are pretty much the worst because...
I know.
We've had 71 divas and I'm pretty sure you know 4.
I'm trying to think. I don't know if I would consider her a Broadway diva because there's zero attitude about her, but
it's not even about the attitude.
Is there any recordings of, Porgy and Bess. I did Mormon with, Nikki Renee Daniels.
Oh,
who has my favorite voice in the history of Broadway.
She has a great voice.
Yeah, she did. She was the one who did Summertime on the Porgy and Bess, the 2008 one, right? Isn't that her?
Because
it's not,
yeah, with
it's
Audra.
Not Bess who's or poor, it's which
Bess.
One's
Bess. Bess is Audra. Yeah,
it's not Bess who sings that, right?
No, it's not. It's another one. It's Joshua like Henry's wife. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Nikki Renee Daniels. I will take Nikki Renee Daniels.
Dude, Poor Thing is in the freaking is in Company that just.
Yeah.
Opened and closed right away.
Yeah, but
hopefully that'll come back.
Oh, absolutely. I think the trick with Company is when it does come back, if everyone in the cast will be able to come back with it. But
right, because of that other stuff. Yeah.
That is one of the newer productions that had to close up from quarantine that I'm not concerned about. I am so confident it's gonna come back.
Yeah. I hope so.
Yeah, I was very excited to see it. I had tickets to see it in April. And unfortunately, I bought my tickets at the box office because at the time I was like, I'm not paying Ticketmaster, fees. I'm going to, slash that and buy it directly at the box office. And then they extended lockdown. And I was like, well, I can't go to the box office to exchange my tickets.
Right, right.
Yeah. Oh, they refunded me, but I wanted to be like, I didn't want a refund. I wanted to be like, can I get tickets for September? But
Yeah.
It's fine. It's really difficult to be me. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, yeah. No, I heard you loud and clear. I read between the lines. It's this quarantine is happening to you.
Yes.
You know
yes,
what I
it
mean?
Is. Yes. I take subtext and I turn it into text and, and I jam it down your stupid throat.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So that's all to say. Nikki Renee Daniels is our Gabe, I want to thank you for coming on today. This has been fantastic.
Of course. Oh, good, man.
Yeah. And please, guys, check out his pod, Musicals That Never Made It. That's the title, right?
Yes.
Musicals That Never Made It. And this is Nikki Renee Daniels. Enjoy, everybody. Bye.
The spark of creation. I am a keeper of the flame. We think all we want is a lifetime of pleasure. Each perfect day the same. Endless vacation. Well, that's all right if you're a kind of crustacean. But when you're born with an imagination, sooner or later you're feeling the fire get hotter and higher. The spark of creation.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.